No, it doesn't.
Okay, maybe we can start now.
Let's try that again. Call the Conference Committee on House Bill 3039 to order. Thanks, everyone, for attending. Have a number of amendments before us, and hopefully we can move quickly. The House is on the floor, and I know the members to my left are as eager as I am to get back to that. So with that, I would be interested in a motion.
We'll open a work session on this.
I assume that was in the in the Conference Committee, but thank you. We'll open a work session on House Bill 3039.
And would you like me to summarize?
Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, you have House Bill 3039B. It directs the Public Utilities Commission to develop a solar power pilot program to demonstrate the effectiveness of incentives for electricity delivered from solar voltaic energy systems. It allows customer-side and third-party solar systems to qualify. It allows electric companies to recover costs from ratepayers. It limits the total pilot program 25 megawatts. It sets a goal 75% to be generated by small-scale systems. It makes pilot program provisions operative April 1, 2010. It encourages state agencies to use fuel cell power systems in lieu of other power equipment and directs the Department of Energy to develop criteria for agencies to use in comparing fuel cell power systems with other equipment options. It also declares an emergency effective upon passage. You have two amendments, the dash B-24, which we've not summarized on your summary, states that the Public Utility Commission is to set fair and reasonable rates. And you have the dash B-25, which is the committee amendment, adds solar voltaic energy generating capacity standard of 20 megawatts by January 1st, 2020. With no single project greater than 5 megawatts, it requires electric companies to each achieve a proportion of the standard equal to its share of retail electric sales. It establishes two-for-one credits for qualifying generating systems operational prior to January 1st, 2016 for the purpose of complying with the renewable portfolio standard, and it limits incentive eligibility to projects under 500 kilowatts. You have a revenue impact statement on the dash B-25s, and all the other paperwork is in line.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash B-25 amendment to House Bill 3039.
Thank you. Senator Metzger moves the B-25 amendments to House Bill 3039. I expect there will be some discussion.
I'll start off if I could, please. Mr. Chair, and then we'll go to the B-24. But the B-25 amendment, I support it. One of my concerns was, that is reflected in this amendment, is capping the two-for-one at the 20 megawatts, which was in the bill that came over from the House, did not cap that two-for-one, which this does. And I think if we're going to lower the cost of solar, we obviously have to be able to have the opportunity to experiment with it. We have to be able to incent that to drive those costs down, but I also think it's prudent to have a cap on that. So I appreciate the Chair's indulgence in doing that. With that, I would be supportive of that. And I also would like, if we could have Mr. Ellenette come forward from Revenue.
Please.
I did talk to Revenue Chair Burdick, and so I'd like to talk on the record. She wanted to be clear and confident that under the Betsy tax credit, since solar is eligible for Betsy on its own, that in that this piece of legislation does it in any way increase the total amount of dollars expended as she has been working on the Betsy bill, that this doesn't somehow increase the total amount of dollar credits available for Betsy in the next biennium? That's my question.
Chris. Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, for the record, Chris Allenack, Legislative Revenue Office. And the reason I put a no impact on it, it has to do with a deviation from current law and current expectations about what's going on with the Betsy. And so currently, these projects, the utilities, the baseline assumption here is that utilities are expected to be investing about 4 megawatts in these projects per year under current law. And those projects would be eligible for Betsy. There are the issues with 2472 set aside. That bill hasn't passed, so this is kind of independent of that. But with those current expectations, that kind of sets the backdrop for how the Betsy might change. So we have this expectation of the credits claimed, and I have a little bit of math in there estimating about $12 million in credits would be claimed under current law. because you have a 4-megawatt project, and as I understand it, the best information I have is that the cost per megawatt is $6 million. So that's $24 million, and they would be eligible for a 50% credit, so that's $12 million per year that they could be claimed. So then the policy here is a deviation from that. One other thing that plays into this is House Bill 2067, which passed both chambers recently, and that puts moves the sunset of the Betsy credit from 2016 to 2012. So we have a situation where the Betsy credits right now, as long as a project is certified by 2012, then they'd be eligible for the credits, but no new projects after 2012 would be eligible. So that kind of removes investment in these projects after 2012 from the scenario. So it gets a little complicated in terms of what's current law or not given these sunsets. So the real incentive here for the solar projects is the RPS. It's the 2-for-1. And so that would play into this in terms of them working the projects. But under the current expectations is that they would reach the 20-megawatt capacity over a few years anyway. That to be eligible for the RPS, the projects would have to be online by 2016. So under the current projections, because it is a pilot program, they'll be hitting that cap kind of under current expected business operations. And so it's not really expected to alter that behavior a great deal. And so that's why the revenue impact is none.
Okay.
Thank you. Did you have any follow-up, Senator Musker?
That's fine for me. Thank
okay.
you.
Senator Dinkel.
Well, this is more of a comment. It's not necessarily a question. So I don't know if you want to see if there's any other questions regarding the revenue or...
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Okay.
So it's your turn.
Well, first of all, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I should say co-chairs for working on this bill. Just for the record, I want to say I support the Bean Gross version of House Bill 3039. I was off in committee, so I didn't get a chance to vote for it on the Senate floor, but I would have been a yes on that. I do have concerns about the B-25, and let me share with you about what those concerns are. And both my Senate colleague and I are playing catch up on this since it didn't come before my committee. But as you know,
we wanted you to be a part of it, though.
Well, I appreciate you sharing the... let's just say sharing the love on this bill. That's been, I know it's been somewhat controversial. The underlying part of the bill, the feed-in tariff, I absolutely support. I think it's a worthwhile policy that we should explore. And in full disclosure, I have solar panels on my house. I will tell you that I'm in a net metering agreement with PacifiCorp. It's been an interesting process over the past 2 years. And as a individual homeowner with a small 1.9 kilowatt system, and it'll be interesting to see if how that will play out for small homeowners. So I've been following feed-in tariffs for many years, so I'm somewhat familiar with the underlying basis for this bill. The part that troubles me, I will share with the committee, are the Dash 25s, and this is something that all session I've been dealing with. As you know, I was a chief co-author of Senate Bill 838 last session, which set up the renewable portfolio standard. And one thing that we didn't do in the bill is we did not set carve-outs for certain types of energy in the bill, which is what the Dash 25s do, if my understanding, because you're saying solar, which I absolutely support, but now is going to count, 2-for-1 versus other types of renewable energy systems. So that part of the bill is what I have concerns about, is potentially diluting the RPS. And not that solar at a small or large scale are not good. I absolutely support the RPS and promoting renewables, especially homegrown renewables, as many of the solar companies in Oregon, we've seen green jobs and growing at an exponential rate, and partially because of the policies that we adopted last session. So I have concerns about diluting the RPS. That's why I don't support the Dash 25s. I've been consistent with this. We have other bills that are moving forward on the Senate side or potentially moving forward that would do the same thing. And the question is, then do we come back with a carve-out for wind and for wave next session? And at what point do we then say, well, why bother having a general renewable portfolio standard? The other thing is quantifying the impacts of the 2-for-1, which I think is still an unknown. I've met with the PUC. I've met with the proponents and opponents of this bill. So the past 2 days, I've been doing a lot of research. The other question, and I guess this is somewhat of a comment, but also a question. My reading the Dash 25s, I saw that the date of the sunset had been changed from 2014 to 2016. So I had a question for the chair about what the rationalization behind changing that date, since I didn't hear the initial discussions about the 2014 date and how that was set.
We had, thanks, Senator Dinkfelder, we had discussions about 2014 and we wanted to make sure that it indeed does not have a revenue impact. So extending to 2016 ensures that that there is not a revenue impact, and that's the motivation.
Okay. So just in closing, that's the concerns that I have with the Dash 25s. I support the being grossed and certainly support the feed-in tariffs version of the bill. And I guess there's still questions about what the long-term impact of setting up the two-for-one. One thing I just want to be clear about, and I don't know if you can answer this or somebody on the committee can, my understanding is that the sunset isn't really a sunset, because any project that comes online by 2016 will qualify for the two-for-one standard in perpetuity. Is that correct?
Senator Dinkfelder, I believe, well, go ahead, Chris.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dinkfelder, are you referring to the sunset, the two-for-one? As I understand the Dash 25s, if they're online by then, they would get the 25s. I mean, they would get the two-for-one.
And so the two-for-one doesn't sunset. It's when they qualify? Is that, that's what I'm trying to
Well, Senator Dinkfelder, I suppose it depends on your definition of a sunset. That program would no longer be open for new projects coming online.
But projects that were already qualified by 2016, they'd be eligible for that indefinitely.
I believe that, so yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for that clarification.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, the motion is on the adoption of the Dash 25 amendments. Would you please call the roll?
No.
Representative Felizio?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Chair Reed?
Aye. Motion having received the required majority is declared passed. The B-25 amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move the B-24 amendments to House Bill 3039.
Thank you very much. Senator Metzger moves the B-24 amendments to House Bill 3039. Senator Dinkfelder, these were primarily your amendments, is that right?
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sure. It's really about cost. Making sure that we are being mindful of consumers and of any potential cost increases due to this policy. So I think it's pretty consistent with what we've done all along, and making sure that all of the prudency reviews that the PUC currently does is included in the feed-in tariff program.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I support Senator Dinkfelder's amendment. Certainly, rates has always been an issue I've been very concerned about, and balancing that fairly with getting new renewables online and getting their costs down is always a balancing act. I think this is a fair and reasonable amendment to make sure that we still are going to be focused on this as well.
We certainly depend on the PUC's good work. That's true. Any other comments or discussion? I don't see any. Is there any objection to the Dash 24, the B-24 amendments? I don't see any. The Dash B-24 amendments are adopted to House Bill 3039. And I think we're ready for the next. Representative Gilliam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to say a word about the B-23s, and I'll be as brief as I can. I am not going to advance them today. I appreciate you letting me say a word about them. At this late date and what's going on in both chambers, I make no apologies for the opportunity to discuss this or add something into this bill. I'm not responsible for the way we do things around here, but out of respect,
but you're part of them.
I like being part of them. But one of the reasons I was advancing it is because I believe when we talk about renewables, we need to be talking about how we store some of the energy, and that's what this hydrogen amendment was about. So I don't want to belabor it other than to say, when we're talking about renewables, we better start talking about, for instance, the dirty little secret that wind has. I, too, support wind. Wind goes through that gorge exactly when we don't want it to, and we better figure out a way to store it when it's cheap and to burn it when it's expensive and to make Oregon and Washington our preference. Right now, much of the wind and the energy from wind is blowing right over Oregon straight to California. This is a portion of sustainable, renewable energy that we'd better be talking about and supporting. Hydrogen hubs, I believe, will be built within a year as an experiment in this state. They do not need the RPS to be successful, but I believe they should be included. This isn't an elbowing out of any other renewable. I think Senator Dingfelder said it well. I completely support the other renewables. This one enhances and strengthens what we have. That was my point, and I'll continue to make that point, but not in this bill. Thank you.
Appreciate your comments, Representative Gilliam, and appreciate your longstanding devotion and diligence in advancing that issue. As you know, not all the conference committee members know, we had a long discussion about that in our committee, and I hope it's one we'll get to continue in the future. Senator George.
Mr. Chair, I just want to bring up the issue of the B-26s, and I understand that you do not want to put those in the bill today. And I was just, as I understand, it's a clarification. So is this something that we want to address later session? Is there a policy reason why, or do we believe that the bill currently states this and just that the advocates for B-26 are just asking for a clarification? I was just wondering if you had any policy reason why we weren't adopting those, or just was a timeliness reason of not having a revenue impact.
Thank you for the inquiry, Senator George. I think the question on the B-26 is one of how the feed-in tariff would operate and who would participate in it, both in terms of how the cost would be spread and who would be eligible to participate in it. And it's my belief that we want to have as broad a potential base in that program as possible so that we can evaluate it, determine what works, what doesn't, and then have the legislature with an opportunity to evaluate and make the needed changes. I would not be very attracted to the idea of limiting that that experiment on feed-in tariff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other further discussion?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dingfelder has brought to my attention that we may need to do a conceptual amendment.
On the
redact the B-24 and have the senator. She points out that it is sections 1 and 2 of referring to the bee and growth version, but of course the concept is for all sections of the legislation. And
with the addition of the B-25s, we're adding a new section 3 and 4. And so could we conceptually amend that to say all sections of the bill? I mean, we don't want to only have this fair and reasonable rate set for only two sections of the bills versus other sections that are still potentially going to have rate impacts.
Understood.
What I would suggest, Mr. Chair, is that we do a conceptual amendment to the B-24 that we've adopted, and drop the words on line 2. Sections 1 and 2, drop those four words, make a conceptual amendment that says nothing
nothing in this act.
In this act, in this 2009 act. So nothing in, well, that's it. We just delete those words. Nothing in, and then we go to the word this.
Understood.
And just delete those others, and then that would clarify the entire legislation.
Understood. So let's have the committee stand at ease just for a moment to make sure we're this is my my first attempt at a conceptual amendment, so let me make sure we get this right. So I'll stand at ease for just a moment.
Thanks for your patience. Just wanted to make sure we get that right. Senator Metzger.
Mr. Chair, I move that we make make a conceptual amendment to the B-24 that we have previously adopted, and that conceptual amendment appears on line 2 by deleting the words sections 1 and 2 of. Deleting the words sections 1 and 2 of on line 2 of the B-24. That conceptual amendment would change the wording then to what it would read would be nothing in this 2009 Act, making it clear that it covers the entire bill and not just sections of a previous amendment, which we are now basically changing.
Thank you. Senator Metzger moves for a conceptual amendment to the B-24s by deleting sections 1 and 2 of to make clear that that section, which will obviously be renumbered when everything is brought together, applies to the entirety of this Act. Is there any discussion of that conceptual amendment? Is there any objection? Seeing none, conceptual amendment is adopted. Thank you, Senator Dingfelder, for catching that.
Thank you.
Thank you, yes. Just in the nick of time.
Yes,
Mr.
absolutely.
Chair.
Representative Gilliam.
Mr. Chair, I am trying to be cooperative. I hope you know that. But, and I understand from the earlier comment that you don't want to move 26. I was so confused about 26 during the, it's very hard in this particular makeup of a, what are we on?
Conference
committee.
To figure out, session, right?
To figure out what's going on. Would you, before we enter, and I don't think you would entertain them, before I move 26, would you at least allow us to have a discussion by those who are advancing them so that we at least understand their point of view without having the amendment coming forward? Just in the spirit of complete clarity, which I don't have.
The one thing you just had said, we have to be in the Senate floor in 2 minutes.
And as do we on the House floor. I think there are some pretty significant votes coming. So
they're not as significant for me as perhaps they are for you.
Understood. Well, let's have, I would be willing to say about 1 minute, just in the
fair
interest, because we're going to lose our part of our committee members. So is there someone you'd like to call, or did you want to make an explanation?
No. Anybody in the room that feels like they understand it is fine with me.
Okay. I don't see anyone. Yeah. Mr. Nelson, can you do 60 seconds?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mark Nelson, representing industrial customers in Northwest Utilities. This particular amendment, we had offered in a little bit different form on the Senate side, and then when the parts of sections 1 through 7 were taken out, it did not move forward in that side. We just want to make it clear that the industrials are not part of the feed-in tariff process, and nor would they participate and move forward on a project, nor would they be participating in increases in rates in that process. To my knowledge, there is no objections from CUB, from either of the utilities, from the solar industry, on these amendments. I have found no objections to these amendments moving into the bill. That is the only purpose. We felt that the existing language intended for that, except it wasn't clear. That was the only reason we moved forward in terms of offering this amendment. We would like to ask the committee to consider them. Again, there is no opposition that we know of in this audience or anyplace else in the building to these amendments. We think that was the purpose of the original draft of the bill, and we found no one to say otherwise.
Thank you. Any questions? Let's see.
No.
Thank you very much. With that, I think we're great. Senator Metzger.
Mr. Chair, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments dated June 8th, and that the bill be further amended with the B-25 amendment and the B-24 amendment as conceptually amended and repassed.
Thank you. Senator Metzger moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments dated June 8th and that the bill be further amended with the B-25 amendments and the B-24 amendments as conceptually amended and repassed. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator George.
I know the chair and other members of the committee have spent a great deal of time on this bill, and so I do not want to be a hindrance to something that you all have a great deal of investment in. And as the good representative mentioned, there's some of us that are, this is a bit outside of our expertise. And so my concern always is that when we pick winners and losers, and when we're in a situation where we're going out there and we are writing things that tend to benefit one part of the industry over the other, it always makes me incredibly nervous. And as the good senator from Wilson knows, I'm constantly fighting that kind of advantage through regulation. I'm going to trust the chair that we're trying to work towards that direction, and that I think based on how divided the industry is on its own, that I hope we keep working on this during the interim and try to come up with something that ultimately will satisfy everyone in the industry as we go forward. I simply want to say that when we start creating regulatory systems, it would be much more transparent if the public wanted to subsidize certain types of energy, that we just subsidize that industry with a specific target. And all of these changes in the regulations to give certain people advantage obscures the actual cost of what we're subsidizing things. And so I will support the chair. I just want to bring up the concern that I think there's a lot of division. I'm very concerned about it. I hate the idea that we're picking winners and losers. And I really hate the fact that we could end up obfuscating exactly the total cost of what we're doing through all of these regulatory schemes. And I hope that we work hard going into the future to try to clean this up so it's transparent for taxpayers and ratepayers. And so I will support the bill, but I want to just kind of continue to stress, I appreciate your hard work on this, but I also want to stress that's the direction I'd like us to head.
Thank you, Senator George. I appreciate those comments, and certainly my interest is consistent with that, in that this is two components that are small, sunsetted, capped, so that we can test what works and what doesn't and have a chance to improve it. Appreciate your comments. So the discussion? Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator George, for your comments. And I share a lot of those feelings on that, and just a couple of issues that were brought up. Number one, that's one reason that, again, you know, I asked for a cap on that, so on the industrial side or on the big unit side, so that we don't have an unlimited. The second point is about the winners and losers, and I absolutely agree with that. Certainly at this point, solar is more expensive than other renewables. And one of the things we want to do is incent business to generate jobs where there's an opportunity under this pilot program, in which hopefully technology will be attracted because of this pilot program, and then work to decrease the price of solar, and just as we have with wind and others, to have more competitive alternatives. And then the final comment is, and I appreciate the good Senator Dingfelder's comment about the RPS, but as I said in our substantive committee, with the new carbon goals that we have set for the state, I think the RPS itself is going to be moot within a few years, because we're going to have to exceed the RPS to meet the new carbon goals set by the state. So putting that all together, I think the pilot program makes sense, and hopefully it will generate jobs, and it will also provide an incentive to reduce the cost of solar so we have more competitive renewables. So I will be supporting the motion and moving to the floor with an enthusiastic support of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Metzger. Senator Dingfelder.
I was going to say the Senate side is really chatty today, which is usually the other way. I do want to, again, thank both chairs for their hard work and many of the advocates in interested parties in this room. I will also, like my good senator to the left, which I really enjoyed saying that, reluctantly support the bill, because I support the underlying feed-in tariff part for many of the reasons that Senator Metzger said. I mean, homeowners like myself that are highly motivated to install our solar system, it's still expensive compared to other sources of renewables and energy. And so I think anything we can do to move towards making it more affordable and spreading those costs around in a different way, which is what this bill does and the pilot program does, I certainly support. I think what we need to do is make sure and come back and do check-ins with the multiplier part of the bill and the feed-in tariff, obviously. You know, this is new. Not many states have adopted this at a state level. I will tell you, I think Oregon, I think, will be the first at a state level.
Second, I think, Vermont.
Vermont beat us because
yes.
They already signed theirs. I do know many municipalities and, of course, other countries have done it, but now we're only the second state, so it'll be, of course, somewhat experimental. But I certainly will be asking folks to come back to my committee during the interim to report to us on how that's doing, and obviously looking at the impacts over time. I think long-term, Senator Metzger, you're right. Hopefully with federal movement on reducing carbon emissions, RPS may at some point be moot, but it's certainly helping, I think, Oregon, helping our economy and becoming one of the leaders, if not the leader, in green jobs and green technologies. So I'm glad that we're moving forward with jobs in one arena of our economy, certainly during this tough economic time. So I will be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Senator Dinkler. Any comments from our silent House? Representative Gillian.
Did they defer the Senate opening? Because a minute ago we were pretty...
These all need us, maybe.
Then they had a chance
actually,
to talk.
Actually, I need to go carry the Klamath concurrence. So
that's very good. With that, the motion again is to that the House concur in the Senate amendments dated June 8th and that the bill be further amended with the B-25 amendments and the B-24 amendments as conceptually amended here in this conference committee. Without any further discussion, would you please call the roll?
Senator Dinkfelder?
Aye.
Representative Galizio?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Chair Reed?
Aye. Motion having received the required majority is declared passed. Senator Metzger, would you be...
You want to carry? You want me to carry, Jackie?
You can carry.
Okay. I thought you might say that. I'll carry.
Senator Metzger, and I will carry in our respective chambers.
Members, before you leave, we will need to produce a committee report that you all sign. There will be three copies of it. We will bring it around. It will be a new committee report because we've adopted multiple amendments.
We'll be in the chamber if you want.
We'll try to do it in a hurry so we can catch you in the chamber.
Okay. I'll be in Wednesday.
Thank you very much. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3039. And
thank you, Larry.
Nothing else?
Yeah.
And we're adjourned.
Thanks.